RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation, the industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by Camp Casual. Family-owned and operated since 2014, Camp Casual is committed to bringing retro-inspired dishware and home goods to the camping and RVing community. Visit CampCasual.com to see what fun products you can add to your RV, your campsite, and your home.
And by AccuvaTech. Dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water, AccuvaTech makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and home. Visit AccuvaTech.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com to shop for everyone on your Christmas list or to find a store near you.
Everyone, welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are talking about one of the most important parts of the RV buying process, RV dealerships. Choosing to buy from a reputable dealer will affect so many aspects of your RV experience, yet many folks look no farther than the price point when deciding where to buy.
Well, we have talked to hundreds of RVers with both positive and negative dealership experiences. We have also met hundreds of dealers, many of whom are doing it right. On this episode, we will dive into the qualities of a five-star RV dealership. Plus, we'll talk to Josh Winters, a guy with his own track record of serving happy campers for many years.
You might think an RV dealer is nothing but a hurdle between you and your dream machine, but we know that building a great relationship with a reputable dealership will pay off for years to come. You are listening to episode number 172, Finding a Five-Star RV Dealership with special guest Josh Winters.
Before we head into this week's feature topic, finding a five-star RV dealership with special guest Josh Winters, and he is very special, it is time for a sponsored message by our friends at Accuva.
Accuva is an innovative leader in building their water filtration systems for both the home and RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe drinking water no matter where you are. So a lot of RVers rely on bottled water, or the other option is water filters.
RV owners named Jeremy and Stephanie.
Yeah. Exactly. So bottled water takes up a lot of space, it costs money, and creates a lot of plastic waste. Like when we're using bottled water on the road, you're constantly like, oh, we're out of water, I need to go to the camp store and pay a lot of money for
it. We never use bottled water anywhere else except for in the RV.
Now, a lot of other RVers use the standard water filters that attach at the hose, and they help with taste issues, and they also do some, you know, filtering out of like larger, you know, items, but they also allow harmful bacteria and viruses through. So Accuva uses UV sterilization technology to filter that water. Now, this is the same technology that municipalities in New York, Paris, and Vancouver use.
All
over the world. And they've adapted this technology to use in an RV. So they've brought it into that small scale. They use LED lights in the UV filter, which means that they can purify your water for over 10 years without being replaced.
And you know what else? I watched that RV Geeks video. It looks really nice.
Yeah. Oh, no. It's very streamlined.
And it doesn't even replace your main faucet. You can keep your main faucet there for washing dishes or whatever other uses you might have. This is a separate faucet just for your drinking water, which I think is very cool.
It's keeping it all nice and tucked away, too, away from everything. You don't have to see it. So we appreciated the RV Geeks YouTube video. We appreciate their endorsement of the system in their own RV. And we are going to keep you you posted on our install.
I'm really excited to try this.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to drink a lot of water this year.
If you want to check it out, you can go to the show notes of this show and we'll have the link through to the product and you can look at it further.
Okay, so it's time for our RV News Minute. And Stephanie and I like often totally come up with like totally different ideas for what to do for the RV News Minute. This week, it was obvious we both had the same exact idea. So FMCA, the Family Motor Coach Association, which is it's legendary in the RV industry, let's be honest. They have voted to accept towable owners. And that was the big news this week in the RV industry. And I got to tell you, frankly, I don't know a lot about FMCA and what they offer. I know they do a lot of rallies, a lot of seminars, a lot of education. They have a magazine for their members. It's always looked interesting to me and like something I would love if I was a motorhome owner, but I'm not a motorhome owner. So I never looked really in detail into what they offer. But now all of us towable owners can join.
Yeah. And, you know, they're not doing a tremendous favor to towables. Let's be clear on this. Towable owners will be doing a favor to the Family Motor Coach Association because there's a reason why this vote happened. And that's because their membership has really been declining. They've been around for 53 years. But as the rate of motorhome ownership has continued to decline and towables has really exploded, their membership has also gone down.
The current RV sales, 89% to 90% of current RV sales are in towables. And we all know there's been an explosion in RV sales over the last 2, 3, 4 years, but most of that is in towable RV owners. So as Stephanie said, like I remember Walter Cannon, our great friend and the guru for RV safety and education, telling us that he remembered the old FMCA magazine was as thick as a phone book every month because it was so filled with advertising and content and sponsors, and it's gotten thinner. So Stephanie makes a great point. I mean, it's not a favor they're doing to us. It's something that they want to do to survive.
Well, let's look at some numbers here. FMCA, which it had more than 140,000 members prior to 2008, now it reports 74,000 active
members.
Now,
I'm an English teacher, but that sounds like it's cut in half.
Wait for it. With the vast majority owning Class A motorhomes and the average age of the owners of those units being 71 years old.
That's the average age?
That's the average age. Okay, so family may be a bit of a euphemism at this point.
Stephanie, people that are old have families, too.
Well, I know, but they're not usually traveling with them.
So, look, they want to bring the age of ownership down. Look, to me, this is necessity is the mother of invention. They need to do this to survive. And frankly, I think a lot of towable owners might really enjoy joining because, I mean, they do have a lot to offer.
Well, they offer, you know, you mentioned the rallies. They also offer local chapters that people do join in, and they have local gatherings and campouts. But also they offer special discounts that they negotiate on behalf of their membership so that they do have things like roadside service, things like that, that they'll offer you a package and you'll be able to get it at a discounted price. Now, you know, I want to say this was defeated 5 years ago. And yet this time when it came out, it was approved. 13% of the membership voted. There was a total of 9,801 votes. 6,820 people voted to open up the membership. 2,981 declined.
So,
interesting numbers.
So if you join and you show up at the next rally and you're towable, look around and try to find those 287 people that did not want you.
Yeah.
Okay, because they're there at the rally too. But look, I think that I'm kind of interested in having from somebody from FMCA on the show just to say, what are the benefits for RVFTA listeners? Does our podcast audience want to join? And I think we should pursue this a little bit more.
I think that's a great idea. And I completely agree. I think we should definitely invite someone on the show to talk to our listeners about the benefits for them, whether, you know, because we don't really know a lot about it either. But we'll educate ourselves.
And then on the second half of the show, we'll have one of those 287 people that didn't want us.
Tell you why you shouldn't.
us towable owners slumming it, you know, in our towables.
Now, does this mean you go out and join right now? No, because what happens is because they had to change legal things and their articles of incorporation and everything like that, I guess that they have certain, like, you have to certify these results. So as far as I know, they have not officially, like, put up their, you know, join us, even if you have a towable webpage. But when they do, I'm sure we'll have a press release on it and I'm sure we'll tell everybody.
And the cranky RVer, the host of one of our other podcasts, he was one of the 287 guys who voted against. convinced, and he's demanding a recount right now, which we'll see where that goes. If it, I don't know if he has legal ground to stand
take
on.
Take your towel ball and go home. Go back north.
Anyway, I think it'll all work out. But I mean, the name is Family Motor Coach.
Yeah, Coach has gotten. Now, have you noticed if you go to RV shows, a lot of the salesmen will refer to towables as coaches too.
Maybe that's propaganda.
The phrase has been appropriated. So sometimes, especially if you're around the fifth wheels, if you're around any of the luxury fifth wheels, all the time you'll hear people say, oh, well, let's look at this coach, or let me show you around this coach. And I laugh because it's just, everybody just thinks it sounds so much better than an RV.
Well, you know, if you call it a coach, you can charge more for it.
Oh, I'm sure you
can.
Like
if we ever sell our house, I'm going to call it an estate. The Puglisi estate is up for sale.
Right. Like when you don't go to garage sales, you go to estate sales. There's better stuff.
I've never
there.
Been to a garage sale.
Yeah, only estate sales.
I'll only pay estate sale prices. Actually, it's right. The other way around. I've only been to garage sales. Okay,
like
so look, it's interesting news. Look into it, all you listeners out there, and maybe we'll do a show.
I'm going to say I'm going to put a link in the show notes to this episode over on rvfta.com. I will put a link to the article on rvbusiness.com, which they do the five questions for people that are in the news over there, and there are questions with
some
Mr.
basics.
Smith, right? Chris Smith, who's the executive director of the FMCA. And it's just the basic questions. And he answers what their vision is for this.
Do you
everything.
Think that we should form a club, though, for RVFTA listeners? And everyone just sends us $10 a month and then you're in the club.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
And then you can listen to our podcast.
Oh, wait, it's free. Okay. Now, on this week's episode, what are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about finding a 5-star RV dealership, and we're going to break that down into 2 segments. In the first segment, Stephanie and I are going to talk about the things that we think you need to look for to find a great dealership. And I got to be honest, we've bought from 2 different dealerships, and the current dealership, Whitehorse RV in New Jersey, I'll give them a shout out. That's not a paid-for ad in any stretch of the imagination. They're a 5-star RV dealership. They've been great to us and they're great to everybody else. So we are familiar with what makes a great dealership because we're lucky to buy from one.
We also get our fair share of stories. We hear more consumer stories than most people do about different experiences. So we're bringing all of our knowledge from what people have shared with their good experiences, their bad experiences, things they didn't think of ahead of time. We're bringing that all to the table.
I think we should do a 1-800 number where we charge people like $1 a minute. And if they have bad dealer stories, and they've been traumatized by bad dealers, they can call us at any 24 hours. And
that can be part of our membership fee, the $10.
Yeah, and they
can
talk
to us.
You
can get a free phone call.
A lot of people have traumatic experiences with RV dealers, and sometimes I scratch my head because we've been lucky in that sense, or we were smart or lucky, whatever you want to call it. And I'm just like, man, we've never had to deal with that kind of problem. And it's not because Stephanie and I host a podcast. We've always had that service from Whitehorse.
Well, we'll talk about some of the reasons why that is in our next segment.
And then in the next segment, what we're going to have on the ever entertaining and delightful Josh Winters, who has a lot of thoughts of his own on what makes a great RV dealership. And we think that he is part of a great RV dealership. So we wanted to ask him, what do you think you're doing right at your dealership?
And then also we pushed him a little bit on what they're looking to improve, because it's always good to hear from the RV dealer perspective on where they're looking to go and what some of the challenges are in getting there.
And Josh keeps it real.
Yeah.
I mean, he's honest about what they want to improve.
Absolutely. So we will be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 1 of our episode on finding a 5-star RV dealership with special guest Josh Winters, who's going to be on in the next segment. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford before Stephanie and I dive into our tips for finding a great dealer.
The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford, has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. We have to give Thetford a big thank you for giving away a Titan sewer kit. Actually, a few Titan sewer kits,
two.
Right? Two Titan sewer kits during our Christmas spectacular. The Titan sewer hose comes in 10 or 15 foot lengths, and you can kind of combine those lengths and use interchangeably depending on
and
how
you can buy it as, I think, a 25 foot kit where
right.
it's got both.
And it's got a 10 and a 15 that you combine together. So the hose is the toughest, longest lasting hose on the market and has sewer adapters with handles that make connecting to those icky sewer lines a little less icky.
It's a very tough sewer hose. I mean, I've threatened it and it doesn't back down.
It doesn't even burst into tears.
And by the way, we have another one to give away in our garage. We have to give another one away over the next year too. So keep your eyes on our social media. So a big thank you to Thetford and everyone that participated in our Christmas spectacular.
And you can find the link to that product in the show notes over at rvfta.com.
Now, the first thing you want to look for when looking for a great RV dealership, do they sell Thetford products? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, let's actually dive in.
All right, so, the real number one.
Do they have accurate online inventory, information, and resources? I think we all expect the website to be current, and I would really not like to find the RV of my dreams on somebody's website only to show up and find that that one was sold a month ago. And that does happen. Some dealers don't keep their websites fresh.
It not only happens that you show up a month later. There are definitely some fishy business operations in the realm of online inventory versus on the lot inventory for RV dealerships. And I'd like to say that this should be a red flag to you. Dealers should be willing to talk to you and to email with you about units. So that is red flag number one to me. If you're looking at an online unit and you call or email the dealer and they're like, "We'll just come in," or "We'll talk about it when you get here," or they don't tell you specific information or answer your questions, I really feel like that is a sign that they are not working with you and that they're not on your side. They're trying to sell you. I mean, you bought our truck virtually via text message.
I bought our last two trucks.
Yeah.
Yeah, and even with the RVs, a lot of emails have flown back and forth. And frankly, look, we're all busy people, so I do want to be able to have conversations over the phone. Mm-hmm. And I agree with Stephanie. If you call somebody up and say, "Hey, I'm interested in this unit," and they're like, "Well, you've got to come here."
Yeah.
I'm not loving that.
Yeah. If I call a store and ask them to check on a size for me, I was just on the store the other day, "Hey, could you see if you have a size 8 boys sweatpants?" He went and he looked for it and he came back and said, "No, I only have one. I don't have two." I said, "Okay, thank you," because I would have driven out to that store. That's unreasonable. That's not good customer service. If they don't offer you good customer service at the beginning, they're not going to offer it to you after.
You know, I want to say, you could have a dealership that has an awesome, accurate website, and maybe they're not a great dealership.
But
it's something
is
to look for.
Okay, it's part. We know that. Every one of these is a part of the puzzle. It's not the sole.
And I would also say, you're not going to get all these things. I am saying look for these things and try to get as many of them as you can. So number two, do they have some online reviews on Yelp, on Facebook, anywhere? Can you get some information about this dealership from real customers of this dealership?
There is a phenomenon out there of what are sometimes referred to as pop-up dealerships right now. And they happen for a variety of different reasons. But if there is no online presence for this dealership in terms of social media, for Yelp, for Facebook, they don't have a Facebook page, you should be concerned about that. Even though dealers are behind the eight ball when it comes to social media in general, the good ones are working to sort of get themselves at the right place. And for the most part, at least they might have a Facebook page where somebody can leave a review.
And longevity matters.
Yes.
If somebody's been in business for 30 or 40 years, the chances are they're doing it right. Now, an RV is not a watermelon. Okay, somebody could throw up a fruit stand on the side of the road and sell some fruit, but an RV dealership shouldn't be operating that way. And these places really do exist where you see a big open parking lot and just there's 20 RVs there and that's the dealership? Really? Mm-hmm. Is it?
Well, because a lot of them do it for a regional competition to be able to be in a certain RV show or things like that. There's reasons why that happens. Or almost like sort of they're wholesalers, really, but they're acting like they're an RV
dealer. It's
like
the place you go to get your Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of shut down in a month. They're just trying to sell some stuff.
Yeah.
Now, one of the ways you can tell if it's the pop-up shop or if it's a local business that's been in business for a long time. Number three, do they have a modern, fully staffed service center? And this may be the most important thing on this list. Take a look. When you first go to the dealer, walk past all the bright, shiny RVs, walk through their camp store and go and look at their service center. If you cannot find it and they do not have one, that is a gigantic red flag. I would not buy an RV from that dealership.
And at White Horse, which is to us a model of a great dealership, they have a nice little waiting room. They have coffee. They have popcorn, right? They have a desk where there are multiple people back there booking appointments. Now, this is not a bad sign, people. Don't say, oh, well, they must be selling junk. RVs are going to need to be serviced. If you want to buy an RV and the idea of ever having to service it is unacceptable, you need to walk away from the RV transaction because it's going to happen. You're going to need your RV serviced whether you buy new or used. So, you know, this matters. And we do know people that buy from dealers away from where they live. And we recommend talking and trying to find if they can get a service, if they can get it serviced near their home. That is not your best option. So we had friends recently that were asking us for advice, and they were asking whether they should go for a lower price or whether they should go near home. And we said, how much are you talking? Like, what is your aggravation worth, right? You need to think about that.
I just got to be blunt here. I think a lot of people go to such great lengths to save $1,000, $2,000, or $3,000 on an RV purchase. And I think it often comes back to bite them later when they don't get the service they're expecting. A lot of times when you buy at the cheapest possible place, they're not going to have the best possible service.
Now, our interaction with some listeners out in Albuquerque, New Mexico, taught us that in some cases out there, they were looking at $8,000 differences in prices. And so there are instances where it will be worth it for you to do that. Really research ahead of time your mobile RV repair options and the like, you know, and also maybe talk to the manufacturer and say, could I please see your list of certified service centers, you know, where I live? That's a good way to go directly to the manufacturer and ask them for approved service centers.
Agreed. Number four, do they listen to what you want or try to sell you what they have?
I have seen, we're at a lot of RV shows, we talk to a lot of dealers, and we have a lot of great experiences with these dealers that we meet at different industry events, and I also see them in their worst form. And one of the things that I hate is when I see a salesperson listen to the customer and then completely disregard what they say and show them one of the units that I know they just want to get off their lot.
They do that on those RV television shows.
Oh, yeah. That's a good example.
There's like a family of seven. They're like, well, let me show you this travel trailer that sleeps two. And they're like, but you can fold down the sofa, right, and one of the children can sleep on the kitchen sink.
And then you can set up a tent outside. It's ridiculous. Like, you know, you do want to give the customer feedback, right? If the customer is saying, I only want a split bathroom, it's good to say to them, hey, well, if you only want a split bathroom, just so you know, your choices are going to be severely diminished, right? You're going to go from being able to look at all of these to being able to only look at two. That's like what a good realtor does, right? They say, hey, look, I'll show you only houses with fireplaces, but you could be missing out on some really great things.
And a good dealer might say, I don't have exactly what you want on my lot, but I can get it for you.
Yeah.
Let's go from there and let's look around and see if we can order it and how long it will take or if we can buy it from another dealer and have it shipped here.
But if a salesperson, you know, if the first thing that they start showing you bears no resemblance to the things that you said were important, or if they just start convincing you right away that you need something different, I think that's a flag.
Particularly if it's an $80,000 fifth wheel and you're like, my budget's $20,000.
Yeah.
What you really need is an $80,000 fifth wheel. No, you don't. You don't need it. All right. Number five, is there any evidence at all that they RV themselves? Do they have expertise as campers and RVers? Now, a lot of people are too busy to go out RVing and camping that are doing this in the sales business. But if they do have that, bonus points for them.
I think that good dealership owners make this a part of the sales culture and make it a part of their dealer culture. We know that Ed has a long history of RVing.
Ed goes RVing.
He does.
And his whole family does.
His whole family does. And he can talk about his experiences. He can talk about his different rigs over the years. He can talk about his friends and what they've had over the years. It's a part of their culture. Now, I want to give a shout out to some other dealers that I know that are some of the best dealers in the business. And guess what? They RV. And I don't think that's a coincidence. So Gertens RV center out in Ohio. I met Mr. and Mrs. Gurton a couple years ago, 3 years ago at RVIA, and I see them every year, and they are just the loveliest couple. And guess what? Guess that they take a different RV every year to RVIA.
So they're familiar with a lot of their products.
They stay at a local campground.
Good
and,
for them.
And while they're there. And they
it's
use
like
different ones. Every 5 years, I think they actually get a different RV for their personal use. They can go into an RV and really generate opinions about its usability immediately.
I want to be a Gurton.
They are so nice, Jeremy. You can't imagine how great they are. John and Jill Gurton, they're lovely folks, and they RV. And I feel like their knowledge just permeates everything they do at their dealer.
Some of the manufacturers have RVs that their employees can take out and use and reserve. A larger dealer, if they can swing that financially, might be a great idea to keep a used RV in reserve that their salesman can take out, even if it's once a year. Just, hey, go take your kids camping for 2 nights, just so you really get a feel for being in this thing.
Yeah, and Lynn Butler, she's been on the Girl Camper podcast. She owns a dealership in West Virginia. She is at Girl Camper events. She has a camper herself. She has a Riverside Retro.
I think she's camping right now.
She probably is. She knows the ins and outs of those campers. She knows what sells on her lot. She knows what towability is like. She can talk to people about the RV experience. I think that those people run different kinds of dealerships than those that don't.
Number six, and this one's very important to me, is there an attractive, well-stocked camp store? And a lot of dealers just don't have this, and I think they should.
I think this is the last thing you should care about, but it is something that you can consider.
I think
but
it matters. I think
in the world of Amazon Prime.
The camp stores at a lot of dealerships look like grocery stores in third world countries, you know, with those like really ugly shelves. It just looks
depressing.
And then
depressing. One product right
Or like
in the middle.
A hospital supply store, you
it
know.
Does. That's what it looks
when
like.
When I was
medical
younger,
supplies.
My grandfather needed crutches and he took me into the hospital supply store across the street from the hospital. And that's what it looked like. I think that in the future here, as dealers modernize and come to grips with how to best serve the millennial generation, and even us Gen Xers, they need nice looking camp stores. And for a model, and I know everybody can't keep up with Lazy Days, the camp store at Lazy Days was awesome. And
yeah.
And you could have a smaller version of that at your
right.
scale, but it felt like you were walking in. Honestly, it felt like you were walking into Cabela's or something.
It looked like
it was
a department
outdoorsy.
Store.
It looked
yeah.
like a department store. It had wood shelving. It had attractive displays. I'm not saying yours has to be that big, but put some effort into it. Make it look charming and nice.
I think that many dealerships, for the amount of foot traffic they get through, they don't feel like they really want to dive in and invest in that. But some companies have been really good about, you know, increasing sort of the visual design of their displays. Like even Camp Casual does a really nice job for the dealers that you see with their stuff in there. They put the nice signs in there and everything. So there are companies out there that do offer the product. You know, the nice product. It's just dealers having to invest in that I think is difficult.
And here's my theory. If you have a nice camp store, I'm going to come in and get supplies there even when I'm not RV shopping. But I might walk by an RV and go, oh, well, my RV is 3 years old. I wasn't planning on getting a new one, but that looks really nice, right? Give me reasons to go to your dealership besides just showing up for service or purchasing.
Apparently, people actually do impulse buy RVs. There's people that show up to RV shows not planning on buying RVs and they end up with an RV.
We know many of them. They're listening right now.
Yeah. Number seven, do they offer educational seminars? Now, again, we understand that there are great dealers out there that don't do this. However, the best ones, there are many examples of places that do. This is another one that I'm thinking of, Bankston's, which is a girl camper friendly dealership where they'll have a girl camper event coming up in March to do the camper college. They have a green room there where they film little educational videos, like for their YouTube and everything, where they can go in and they can sit there and do a little winterizing thing or whatever.
I want one of those.
Yeah, you
here
want a green
in
room
our house. Look, and again, it's a little pie in the sky, but I think that as we move into the next 20 years of RV sales, the dealers should have these types of things.
The best ones do. Mike Harlan was always looking at Haydasee in Ohio before he left to
little
go down
events,
to Florida.
Yeah, a barbecue, a seminar, things like that. Stephanie and I are available to come and talk to people. Actually, we might not be. But.
No, that's a lot. The one around the corner. I'll come and talk to you around the corner.
We'll drive 2 hours max.
Yeah, exactly. Drivable distance for your seminars. All right.
The next one, number 8. Does this dealer create a community of RVers and engage with previous customers? Do they have an online presence? Do they have an Instagram account? Are they active on Facebook? Those things just show that they care and they're trying to nurture a community. It's not like they want to like kick their customer out the door and not see them again. They want you to continue to be part of the lifeblood of the dealership.
We met some dealers at the Nashville homecoming when we were there with Jayco. We met some dealers that host campouts every year with
right.
their customers.
The Delmarva Peninsula, that dealer.
This is not about whether or not you want to camp with your dealer. It's not even about whether you want to be on social media. Some of you might want to be like, I don't really want to do that stuff. Here's what I want you to say. Here's what I want you to understand. This shows that these dealers are not scared of their customers. They're not running for the hills after they've sold them an RV. A dealer that embraces the people that have bought from them, that means they stand behind their product, they expect their customers to be happy, and they look forward to a long relationship with you.
Can I say something here?
You may.
It's a good test for manufacturers as well. People ask us all the time, well, what manufacturer should I purchase from? Here's a little tip. Do they have a Facebook account? Because if they don't, they might be scared to have a Facebook account.
Yep.
And they might not want to get comments from people. So a lot of the manufacturers that do, and the dealers as well, that do have the social media accounts, Stephanie is spot on. They are confident in what they're doing. And if they don't have those things, they don't want to talk to you.
Yeah, they're hiding.
Because they're worried about what you might have
to say.
They're
hiding. And does that mean that you're going to see all positive comments? No, because here's the problem, is that the squeaky, you know, some people really believe that the squeaky wheel is going to get the grease, and they just decide that they're going to take to social media if they're unhappy about anything, you know, instead of just trying to let the dealer solve the problem, which we really highly recommend working with your dealer if you have found a good one to buy from.
Good dealers will help you solve your problems. They really will. That's how they become good dealers, and that's how they stay in business for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years.
Now, those are 8 tips for finding a 5-star RV dealership, but I just want to say one more thing before we go, because it's something that we've always talked about personally between me and you, but we've never really clarified to our audience. We hear a lot of dissatisfaction with warranty work or service center work within that first or second year that you are covered under warranty. We want to say that we've now been working in the industry for a few years. We work closely with some dealers. We work closely with manufacturers. We're at these RV shows. We see a lot of the stuff behind the scenes. We want you to know, most of the time, the issues with warranty work are on a dealer level. We just want you to know that. Most people that end up going to the manufacturer get what they want covered. You have to push your dealer to cover what needs to be covered under your warranty. And if that dealer is saying, well, this isn't covered, I would really say, you know, we're going to go further with this. We've had to do it in the past.
You go right to the manufacturer at that point and put the pressure on at that place. But again, a good dealer is going to cover it if it should
That's
be covered.
My point is that with Whitehorse, we have had no issues with getting warranty work done. We've had friends, tons of friends now that have bought from there that have had no issues with getting warranty work done. Now we've had those same quote unquote warranty issues at other dealerships that we've heard from people say, oh, I couldn't get them to replace
it. It takes 3 months to get an appointment. And
I believe
didn't fix it right.
That is a dealer issue, not a manufacturer issue. And I know that's a broad, you know, generalization, but after hearing so many stories, I believe it's an accurate one.
It is, I think, perhaps more important to pick the right RV dealer than it is to pick the right RV. We could debate that for an hour. But also, by the way, the really good dealers pick the really good manufacturers to sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
well, Josh Winters will say that they drop the RVs that they can't service, right? The RVs that are cause them a lot of trouble coming back over and over again, they drop those lines because they're like, this is ridiculous. We're having to service these all the time and we have unhappy customers. So they don't stock those RVs. So it is true that a good dealer is stocking RVs that they're proud to sell.
Speaking about Josh Winters,
there we go.
One of the hardest working men in show business. We're thrilled to have him back on the show to talk about what's going on at Halet RV and what they think they're doing well and what they think they can improve upon. And Josh is going to give us a really nice behind the scenes look at a successful RV dealership and what they do and what they put into it to be successful. So stay tuned for Josh Winters. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We are incredibly excited to be here with an audience favorite, Josh Winters, who has now been on the show 3 times. And he's going to share with us some reflections about his dealership and the work he does at this dealership and some of the things they're doing incredibly well, some of the things he wants to improve. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There's a reason J-Flight has been America's best-selling line of travel trailers for more than a decade. With family-friendly floor plans, plenty of standards and options, and Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, they give you no worries and all the fun. Available in 3 different models, the J-Flight SLX, J-Flight, and J-Flight Bungalow, there's a floor plan for every camper. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
Okay, Josh Winters, a.k.a. the RV Nerd, welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey, Josh.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you so much for your time. So this episode is all about tips for RV dealers, and we do have some RV dealers listening to the show, and we're, you know, we wanted to talk to somebody who's working at a dealership and who is living this every day. So why don't you get us started and tell us a little bit about your dealership, the history of the dealership, where it's located, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, living it is certainly the right way to phrase it. If you do this job right, it is a lifestyle. It, just like camping's a lifestyle, it's not just a job. It's definitely got to be a career. You have to be really dedicated. We're here in Southern Michigan. We've been here since '89, actually, when my dad, Mr. Haylett, founded the place. He's old Ford alumni. It was originally just Haylett Auto, and we were that 10-car dirt lot on the other side of town, that little engine that could. And just against all odds, fought, kicked, scratched our way up through things. And the leadership here is pretty outstanding. He read an article, always looking forward, in that there's going to be this big baby boomer retirement boom, and they're predicting the RV business to expand. And that was like 14 years ago. So he started 14 years ago putting the wheels in place that had us in position to become the largest independent dealer in the state. So, you know, we're easy to access. We're just off the vein of a couple main highways. And Coldwater's, it's good for buying an RV, eating at a restaurant or going to a bar and then leaving. So I think that our business model works well.
In that order, though, or should, I don't know.
Well, I
something
like
about that order makes me nervous.
An RV is certainly on top there, but, you know.
Yeah. All right. So you are did you say that you are the largest independent RV dealership in your region?
Yep. In Michigan here, we're the largest standalone dealership. We are actually the only one, let alone in the top 10, but even in the top 5. So we broke the glass ceiling a long time ago.
And I have to say, Michigan has got to be one of the most competitive states for RV dealerships. I mean, when we were in Michigan, there's RV dealerships everywhere, right?
Yeah, the saturation's super, super high. So it is a really unique experience here. There's 4 states comprise something like 70 to 80% of all RV sales. And in no particular order, they're California, Michigan, Texas, Florida. And unfortunately, due to all sorts of natural disasters recently here, 3 of those 4 states have been significantly crippled. And we have people coming from ever. We already have flood people. Hey, I'm just waiting on my insurance check. I'll put a hold on that trailer. I need to get something new. It's my house down there, you know. So I think Michigan's going to see an unprecedented boom this coming season.
Well, and it's no coincidence, I guess, that those are our highest states of listenership also. It lines right up there with
totally
that RV
true.
Industry.
So
now, Josh, who buys RVs from you? You know, like, who is your customer? Give us some general overview of just, you know, who you're dealing with every day.
And what are they buying, just generally speaking?
Sure. Well, first, who? The, you know, prototypical buyer in this business is someone like more like my parents' age, someone who is approaching or has achieved retirement and they're looking to finally do some travel and they're looking to actually enjoy all the time and leisure that they've earned through all their years of hard work. Interestingly, though, like I mentioned the baby boomer wave. The heaviest wave of that is actually passed already. So everyone expected, especially this year, we would start to see a downturn. It hasn't happened. Last year was the record RV sales year, and this year has really stayed right on pace with it. So looking around as to why, what we're finding is there's a whole super culture going on in RVs right now. Like, you see RV shows, like, you see, do you watch Go RV on Great America or whatever? And it's become a real mainstream thing for the first time ever, really. And millennials are actually becoming the new wave of campers. And this is something that, well, first of all, I just discovered recently. Apparently, I'm the first year that millennials were millennials. I had no idea.
You are the oldest millennial in America.
Yeah,
we have identified you.
I am a crotchety old millennial then, because I don't like people my age. We're dumb.
Or you're a really young Gen Xer. We'll let you choose.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm old for my age. I know that. Anyway, as far as what they're buying, of course, you've still got all your big stuff. Like, Montana numbers are off the charts right now, and they're obviously a big fifth wheel. But there's a massive, massive downsize movement currently. The little brands that we carry are just on absolute fire. I mean, case in point, you have brands like R-Pod out there, and then all of a sudden you've got the Winnebago Winnie drop, and then the Hummingbird. And then I call it the K-Pod, which is the Passport Rogue and the Bullet Colt. All of a sudden, that little market just exploded out of nowhere, you know. And we're seeing all these other things like the little Coachman Apexes that we have here. They are having record years. They're so far behind in production right now, it's not even funny, because they just can't meet demand. And it's a lot of these little camper brands. Like, look what Highland Ridge has done. They have completely restructured their light LIGHT series to be in line with their ultra light LITE series, so that they're really focusing on that high traveling, lightweight, small camping, big fun sort of look feel crowd.
Now, when you say downsizing, are you seeing people coming in, trading in a Montana and getting something smaller, like one of the rigs you just mentioned? Or is it more just the first-time buyer that has an SUV and wants something small?
It's both, but the most glaring example, yeah, it's funny you say Montana. Just last week, we had someone trade in a big 40-foot Montana, like an 07 or whatever, for a Rockwood A-frame. I mean, just totally.
Wow.
Oh, we'll see how long that lasts, right?
and it is funny because
I hate to say this is me. I hate to say this. Let me stop you. I'm picturing some poor guy who just got divorced. I hate to say it. Who's like, all right, I still want to go camping. I'll get an A-frame.
Yeah. Well, I asked my wife one time what she thought about those, and she told me that if I wanted to get divorced, that would be a good way to do it.
Oh, I love those A-frames, but alone, if I'm going girl camping, certainly not with the crew. That's not going to happen.
It's funny. He pictured a divorced guy, and I pictured you when you said girl camping, like doing the finger snap, like girl camping.
Girl camping time. That's right. All right.
No, first timers too. Like, the little Winnebagos, for instance, those are just, we did not expect those to be as prevalent as they have become in our mix, but there's so many people. Like, who are looking for, okay, I'm getting ready to retire. I've never, ever done this before. So it's not just young first-timers. It's old first-timers, too. Getting ready to retire. I don't need something big, but I want something really nice that I can keep long-term. So brands like Winnebago's and Rockwood's, and, of course, Jayco's always been the gold standard. They're really meeting that demand right now.
All right, Josh. Now, you are you're our favorite RVFTA resident dealer out there. We love all the contributions that you make on our, you know, private Facebook group over on RVFTA, the group. We love your YouTube walkthroughs, which is, I think, how we originally had you on the show.
And he's just gone right past. He's doing a lot more than walkthroughs now on YouTube.
Of course, yeah. So a lot of that good content out there. So we knew that we had to have you on the show as the dealer to sort of give them more of the dealer perspective on this episode, which is all about sort of ways that dealers can really kind of take it up to the next level and maybe adjust to a new generation of RV consumer. And some of them have done a better job at that than others, as we know from being in the industry. So we want to know first, you know, from your perspective, what do you think Haylett RV has done right? You know, know, not just since the very beginning, but also over the last, I would say, decade, when things have changed so much in the RV landscape. You know, when you think about your dealership that you work at, what are you really proud of?
Really, the whole commitment to customer service is just the cornerstone of what we do here at Haylett RV. I remember the first sales meeting I ever attended. It was in 2009 when nothing was good, but we stayed in the black. And Mr. Haylett made a statement that it hit me so hard right then. He said, "Remember, guys, we sell them all one at a time. And I know we want to sell a bunch, but you got to do it one at a time." That's always the focus of this place, making customers for life. Turning someone else's customer who comes here for service into our customer, you know, things like that. But
I got to stop you. I love to hear that. I absolutely that those are magical words to me.
Yeah.
That is, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think so many dealers fail on the service end after the fact, and they don't develop that customer for us. So I love the idea that you want somebody to come in, maybe get some service done, and then turn them into someone who's going to buy an RV from you. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's listening to this, if they've done any shopping whatsoever, they're going to hear the phrase, "Well, we don't sell it, we don't service it." And it's just a strong arm tactic. And don't get me wrong, it's not fun. It's not easy, but it's part of running a dealership, at least properly, I guess.
Josh, it's not actually part of a lot of dealership models. So it is something that sets, hey, let's be clear for, you know, we have a lot of listeners that are maybe not even RV owners yet, right? That they come to us, they're listening. So this is a really important point to dwell on. What you're saying right now is that Haylett RV services RVs that were not purchased there. But it's important to realize that that is not necessarily the standard out there. And a lot of people really run into trouble trying to get their RV serviced at dealerships they didn't buy from.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a rampant problem. And here in the areas where there's a high dealer saturation, it's still a rampant problem, but maybe a little less so. But as you start to get out areas that are further away from the heart of this industry or a heavy dealership concentration, it gets really bad. Like you talk to people, and I'll just throw something out there, Maine, I don't know. They're like, "Well, my dealer carries Salems and Pumas, but I don't want any of those. And I want like a Springdale that you guys carry, but I can't." I mean, they flat out told me they won't work on it unless I pay them all this extra money. I mean, it's common.
So Haylett RV at a certain point, did you guys make a conscious decision? Like, did you say this is going to be part of our sort of dealer, you know,
part
ethos?
Of your sales strategy to offer good service?
It was never even a consideration. It was just always a fact. One of the things that separates us a little bit, I think, is that we run ourselves very much like an automobile dealership. And I think that's really the difference. Mr. Haylett's old Ford alumni, which I don't care what brand you subscribe to, he has the automotive background management experience. And if a guy bought, you know, like if you run a Ford store, it doesn't matter where somebody bought a Ford. You work on it in your shop, you know, and you try to turn that person into your customer. And that's his pedigree. And that's the leadership we've had from the top down. Like, you know, we were Jayco exclusive for many, many years. We still worked on everything. Even if it wasn't a Jayco trailer, it can still be done. So you don't necessarily even need a local dealer. The thing people need to remember, too, if you purchase something, you're not just the dealer's customer. You're also the manufacturer's customer. And they're not going to leave you hanging out to dry. They will find you someone who is willing to work on it. They will do that.
I'm fascinated by this car culture aspect of this, the history of your dealership. And it just made me realize I will always buy a Ford truck from my dealership around the corner, not because of how good the sales service was to me, but how good the service department has been after the fact. Mm-hmm. And that's really who you end up over the years getting to know better and spend more time with than the sales guy. I mean, that's something that could happen over a couple of days, but you could be bringing a truck in or an RV in to get serviced for a decade.
Yeah, the simple phrase is that sales sells the first one and service does the rest.
Nope, I hadn't heard that simple phrase before, but it's a very good one.
Any other things that you feel like your dealership, or you're hitting your marks and you're doing it right? Any other areas?
How did you find us? Education.
There you go. Just, I was waiting for that answer, Josh, because we agree.
The biggest thing we do is educate people. Like if you see any of the video tours I put through, we really kind of thought, how are we going to do this? And man, I really don't like my early videos. And I know we've had that discussion privately, the three of us, but, it's, we didn't want to sound like that the used car dealer on the corner, you know, you can get one for just 75, 65, 55 down. We're not trying to do that. We want you to understand why you should spend your thousands of dollars on this. Because let's all be straight with one another real quick. This is, you can find a cheaper hobby, but this is a ton of fun. And there are, you know, things you can do with your family when you're RVing that you just, there's experiences you can't get other ways. So helping people understand not the what, but the why. And why, and one of the things that I love is being so multi-branded that we can be really objective. You don't necessarily drink the punch of any one brand. And I really have come to believe truly that every brand and every trailer is the best for a different reason. The hardest part for a consumer is trying to understand what each of those reasons are, because there is a lot of garbage, smoke, and mirrors in this business. Like, you have to look no further than our values in this business to see just how, I don't want to use the word just like, how big of liars are out there, but there is some really scary, misleading misinformation.
So the education. So you're saying that your YouTube videos are one of the key components to the success of the dealership, at least in recent years.
Well, what's funny is it's become successful not just for our dealership, but I can't go to like Jayco Masters training. Last week I was at Forest River training, and there's other salesmen that walk up to me and go, you're that guy, right? I use your videos to learn about the trailers that we sell, which is hilarious that dealerships don't provide their own training for their own staff. But we had one of our own techs go to a factory tech training seminar. And one of the biggest problems that an RV tech has is that all of the training in this business is focused on the salesman. The guy who actually turns the wrenches, he has to like figure it out. Most dealerships do a very poor job of training their service staff. So like, they don't know, is this supposed to have a grill? How many TVs is this supposed to have? I mean, they just really don't know certain things. And I'm going to withhold names, but a manufacturer representative instructing a class that if you ever need anything, there's this guy in Southern Michigan that does these videos. And my techs are sitting there like, yeah, that's Josh. That's our guy. It's really funny the number of dealer agents that utilize Arvid and even manufacturers agents.
All right, Josh. So you've got customer service, you have education. Is there any other sort of like pillar, you know, that you really feel that Haylett RV is hitting the mark on in terms of being an outstanding dealership?
Sure. I think that it really just goes to the core. I don't know how else to phrase it other than just respecting the customer. And what I mean by that, like, it starts with, I don't care if a guy comes in wanting to spend $500, $5,000, $50,000. You treat that guy with the same respect, that lady, that person. That's a lot of money to them. That's a lot of money to them, and that means a lot to them. And chances are the guy who's only spending $500, it probably means more than the person who's spending $50. It's a really interesting dynamic there. But from there, it goes on, like, we're not a high-pressure place. We have a lot of people come back to us because our salesmen weren't pushy. Like, you don't have to have a chaperone to walk around our lot. You don't need to, you're not a child, you're an adult. You can walk around, you can open doors, you can look at things and get ideas. We would like the opportunity to show people our trailers. Well, some people just need to get an idea. Some people don't even know where to begin, so they don't even know what questions to ask. But also putting all the information up front, the education aspect also goes into how much do these things cost? And having clearly published pricing and not having hidden dealer fees, it's another thing that helps us build a relationship. And it's part of the reason we have now like third generation customers coming here. We have grandparents and parents bringing their kids and grandkids in because like, you got to work with this place. This is the place if you want something.
All right, Josh. Now, we know that you guys are doing a lot of good things over there. If you weren't, we wouldn't have you on this show. But, you know, we also know that the best places, the best businesses constantly, you know, look for ways to improve themselves and also try to change along with the changing times because, you know, RV culture isn't the same now as it was 10 years ago. And dealerships have to adapt if they want to survive. So what are some of your, you know, internal goals as a dealership for sort of, you know, like I said before, addressing the needs of a new generation of RVer?
No, awesome. And that is absolutely something we are super focused on. The last 3 years, we've actually hired an independent third party like efficiency specialist to come in and really work with our service department. We identified a few years ago Like, sales can grow exponentially, but service can only grow in a static linear fashion. And our sales department bloomed and absolutely outgrew what we were capable of properly, proudly servicing. And that was like, it bothered us. So we've had a guy come in 3 years in a row working on things. And this year we're going to start applying that to our sales processes. But the biggest thing, and you talk to anyone who's had service work, and we're not perfect, we're working on being better, is communication with the customer, especially on a service item. That's one of the areas that the few personal clients I've always maintained, I think it's the reason that they come back and I still get referrals from these folks, is because every day, even if I don't have an update, I call you to say I don't have an update. But that's a hard thing to do when we're the only service center for multiple counties around, but there's lots of RV dealerships around here. We handle all of our customers and all of theirs, and it's a lot of work and it's overwhelming. Biggest thing is just trying to, like I said, keep in touch with the customer, keep the customer in front of our staff, making sure that nobody is invisible, nobody gets missed. Like, we have, we call it the 10-foot rule, where there's nothing worse than going into a store and feeling like an invisible customer. We have no invisible customers here. That's like, if you're with a customer and I'm just walking past a person in the showroom who's waiting for assistance, if I walk within 10 feet of them, hey folks, I'm glad you came in. Give us a little bit. We'll be with you as soon as we can. Nobody is ignored or missed. And just knowing that somebody saw you, you watch people's, just their whole body posture relax and like, okay, this is good. I like what I'm seeing here. You can see the difference.
All right. So service is at the top of your priority list as well. Mm-hmm. It should be, because we know that that's probably a number one concern.
And any good dealership across the country is probably going to put that at the top, right? I mean, because sales are exploding, so service has to keep up, right? I mean, service has to keep pace.
Yeah, absolutely. As we're speaking, we're training a new service scheduler back at the counter, just another person to help keep up. We're always willing to interview new techs and whatnot. I mean, it's the hardest thing is keeping in touch with people. We actually really let our RV rental, our camper rental side of the business slip this year, because we just told that guy, you know what? I need you at the counter. I need you helping people around the parts store. And he had to just pull double, triple duty. And that we had to let that go for the greater benefit. And that's a really hard thing. When we walked into this year, we closed out a record sales year. We did about 1,200 units, and really, I think that's the most this facility can physically handle. That is the actual hard ceiling for our store. So the goal is not to do more, it's to do better. And that's easy to say, but it's hard to implement. But like, we had a huge month in June or something, like 153 units, and it felt so smooth. Whereas 3 years ago, if we'd have done 80 in a month, it's like it was just you're ripping your hair out. So the processes, the communication, the updated computer systems we're doing to keep on top of everything, it's working, but it is hard, it's slow, and it takes time.
I would imagine that listening to consumer feedback also takes time. So what do you guys do to make sure that you're hearing consumer feedback? Besides, you know, just saying hello, talking to people at the dealership, how are you making sure that you're really in touch with your customers' needs and desires, whether it be for sales or for service?
Well, you just have all kinds of internal meetings, but one of the interesting things about my role here is, like, I see all the YouTube feedback. I get to see customer inquiries nationwide, and people camp different regionally. And it gives us an idea, like, do we need this? Do we not need that? Like, the way that we equip some of our brands is directly based on customer feedback. The information and the length of my videos is directly based on customer feedback. Not just saying, well, we're the managers and we know better, but actually saying, like, talking to the salesmen, who are the ones who really speak directly to customers. What do you hear? What are people looking for? What are we missing? What do we need more of? You know, things like that. Like, people always ask, why do they build a camper this way, or why did they do that? And the short answer is, because that's what sells. That's what people want. So trying to stay in tune with that, that's an ever-changing process. Like, rear entertainments used to be so huge. Rear entertainments are all but dead now, with rear sofas and side entertainments having taken them over. So it's very interesting watching different things. And there's old floor plans that have come to life. There's a big trend right now of what was new 10 years ago is suddenly new again. You know, so old has become new again because there's a new way of applying this and coming up with a better implementation of it.
that's great to hear that you're listening and reading all those YouTube comments. I mean, and you do have a unique advantage in that sense, is that, you know, there's a certain number of people that physically walk into your dealership every day, but then there are thousands of people watching these YouTube videos, and then, you know, perhaps hundreds of them commenting or whatever. It's a whole other source of information for you. So content creation can serve that purpose as well. That's really great to hear.
Yeah, it's actually really crazy. Like, I'm super proud of the fact that we're about to break 15,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, but looking at my analytics here, that only comprises 7% of our viewership. So 93% of people are not part of that 15,000 group of subscribers. So there's a huge hidden group there, and it's the vast majority of people. And it'd be stupid to not pay attention to them, you know?
Yeah. It would be stupid to not pay attention to the consumer, but a lot of RV dealers don't do it. So we're glad that you're not being stupid, right? And you're paying attention to the consumer. Josh, thank you so much for participating in this episode. For us, it was really important to, have the voice of a dealer on a show that we're talking about improving sort of dealership relations and dealership experiences for the new generation of RV consumers. Now tell everyone, where can people find you if they haven't already?
Well, the number one place to find us is just HaylettRV.com. That's HaylettRV. And everything we do is on there. We keep that up to date by the minute, by the hour. The site is constantly alive. Things that came in this morning, they're already online. Things that are sold are pulled off there. And, of course, you can find us on YouTube or just visit us here in sleepy little southern Michigan. We're a huge dealer in a little town. If you passed us on the highway, you'd never believe there's a dealer this size in this little bitty burg.
We are going to talk to you soon. We can't wait to have you back on the show the next time we meet our favorite dealer on.
Yeah, and thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. It's always nice bringing you on the show.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for tolerating me on your Facebook group and all my weird posts.
No. You bring value to the group. You bring value to the group, and we really do appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later, Josh.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for the RV FTA News Roundup, where we talk about ourselves briefly and some of the things that are going on in our world. And actually, we have a really big announcement and something really exciting this week. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's is the world's foremost outfitter, and they have everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors. Now, this holiday season, we have been highlighting some of our favorite Cabela's products that make good holiday gifts. Congratulations to Daryl for winning the Cabela's 60-quart Polar Cap Equalizer Cooler and Wheels.
And it's the dual,
at our Christmas spectacular.
It's the one with the green color and the khaki color, which we don't have, so I'm jealous of Daryl.
But I'm going to link to that one in the show notes for this article because it is so cool looking. It's really nice.
Daryl, when I messaged him to get his address so he could get his cooler, he messaged me back and said that he woke his wife up at like 6 in the morning to tell her he was so excited about the cooler.
Now, I want to say this 60-quart cooler is the perfect size for a weekend trip. So if you have a seasonal site or you store your RV like in a storage lot, you know you can't cool down your refrigerator before you go to the campground, right? So you might pack all of your food into the cooler, and then when you get to the campsite, you cool your refrigerator down. Well, this cooler fits the right amount of food for a weekend. We've done it many times.
We use our 60 mm-hmm. more than we use our 25.
Right. So the 60 is perfect. I've always been able to pack all of our cold food for the weekend in that 60-quart cooler. I think it's a great size. So you know, the price tag for some people is like, oh my gosh, that's a lot for a cooler. This is a one-time purchase. You buy this cooler and you'll have it forever. Like the old coolers used to be, not like the cheapo ones that you buy these days. Like this will, I feel like this is a cooler that you'll have forever.
Oh yeah. They're built incredibly, incredibly well. I think it's something we'll give to the kids one day, these coolers. They are definitely an investment that's worth making. Okay. So to view a complete line of Cabela's products, head over to Cabela's.com. Now, Stephanie, we have huge RVFTA news. It's the biggest news of the year for us. So, and you have taken the lead on this project. So I want to let you tell everybody about it.
All right. So we have a new website, and that website is rvfta.com. And the thing is we didn't just rename our website. It's actually, it was a conceptual redesign of all of our stuff, right? We've been doing this in one form or another for going on 8 years. We started blogging at Live with Little Campers years ago. And what happened was it was just like a pile on because we'd always just add one thing in and, oh, let's add a podcast and let's add another podcast. And
it starts to become like your house or your basement.
Yeah, our closets need to be seriously cleaned out. And that's what we did with RVFTA.com. We brought it's basically three different parts. It's the RV Family Travel Atlas podcast, the Campground of the Week podcast, and our blog. And the blog
and
is
lots
now
of other cool stuff too.
Right. And the blog is now officially the blog. It's not the show notes, right? The show notes are over in the podcast section. The blog is just our blog articles. So for us, it was just cleaning house. It was making it really easy for you all to find everything that we talk about.
And frankly, we've created almost 300 podcasts now or something like that. And I'm sure there's over 300 or 400 blog posts now, but it wasn't really fun to go back and look for them on the old website. It was really hard to go back and look through all the content. Now it's a pleasure to scroll back and look at all the RVFTA podcasts, look at all the Campground of the Week podcasts. It's very searchable now, right?
Yeah.
There are tags. If you're looking for campgrounds in the Northeast, you can click on Northeast. It's just a much more fun experience browsing around and looking back through all the content we've created over the years. So we really super do encourage you to head over and check it out and enjoy the site. Let us know what you think.
We still have a lot of work to do in terms of our vision for the website and, you know, our content on there. We basically made it into a great structure that we're going to continue to just build out and add even more and more to. So it's really gonna, I think, take us into the next.
What's past is prologue, and it feels like a new beginning. And I was joking around with our web designer, who's a really wonderful guy, and said it's RVFTA 2.0. And it feels like a rebirth in a lot of ways. And we're really excited for this website, and we're just really proud of it.
And the very first thing we did to celebrate was we put up an RV stock up checklist. Okay. So you can go over on the homepage. If you scroll down, you'll see that you can sign up to get our complete RV stock up checklist.
And it's an awesome stock up checklist because the way Stephanie set it up is that it's like the necessities and then the things that you might want that are not necessities. So it's like the wants and then the things that you might just sort of need.
Nice to have.
Yeah, the bonuses, right? If you really have a big RV that you want to fill up with all kinds of goodies. So you could look at it two different ways.
All right, and here's a reminder. We are going to be in Tampa at the Florida RV Super Show in January. It's January 17th to the 21st at the Florida State Fairgrounds in Tampa. There are more than 1,550 RVs there and over 450 vendors. It is like no other RV show in this country. This is a shopping experience.
I challenge you to see all of them.
Yeah.
I would go for 2 days. If you're seriously shopping, I would plan on minimum 2 days, like a full day of exploring and looking around before you even think to purchase on day two. There's just so much to look at.
It's a lot. So you can also camp on site. I will link to frvta.org so you can see all the information about camping on site. We are going to be there. Janine Pettit's going to be there. Other lovely folks from the RVFTA community
we'll
are going to be there.
We'll be meeting and greeting on Friday. Stay tuned for more details. Can't wait to get to Tampa, baby. Everyone's thinking about Santa, baby. Thinking about Tampa baby.
And lastly, a big thank you to Camp Casual for giving away a Camp Casual throw during our Christmas spectacular. We have got such a way for you to wrap up your last week before Christmas. Camp Casual is once again treating our listeners really nicely and offering 20% off their entire site with the code HOLIDAYRVFTA.
Any Camp Casual product you
want. Anything on their site. HOLIDAYRVFTA, all one word, all caps, and you can get 20% off.
I want the new mugs.
That's new mugs, 12-piece dish set, nesting bowls, serving platter and servers. What am I missing? The throws.
The blanket. The throws are awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody's favorite blanket.
There's so much there, and you can't say that there's not a gift for somebody in your life that you need to buy for on that site. We love their stuff. 20% off. That's a great deal. Go over and have fun.
A huge thank you to the other sponsors of this show, to Jayco, to Thetford, to Cabela's, and to AccuVitec.
All right, guys. We will see you at the campground, and a very happy holiday to everybody.
Happy holidays.